The reading that we had from 1 Kings chapter 18. Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal and asked them to prove, basically, that their God was actually real. It wasn't that the false prophets were insincere or that they had no belief at all. As we were reading through that, they called on their God, they even cut themselves, they put in hours. They basically spent most of the day calling on their God. And if all you needed was sincerity and faith, well, they had it. But their faith was in something that did not exist. And as that's the point I would like to amplify on this morning. Does it really matter what we believe in? One of the things that we need to understand as we look at the scriptures is that there is a truth that actually exists and is knowable. In John chapter 8, and in verse 31, Jesus said, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you will truly be my disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Truth is knowable. A lot of times people try to make it out that, well, we don't really know what is right. But Jesus says you will know the truth. If you claim the truth doesn't exist, well, then you're claiming you know a truth. And then you have this little dilemma that sets up. Because you say, well, truth doesn't exist, but you somehow know a truth. The truth doesn't exist. See, in other words, claiming there is no truth is self-contradictory, and therefore it's false. What we understand then is truth is obtainable. It is knowable, and it does exist. Jesus said in John chapter 17 and verse 17, he says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. The Bible that we have, Jesus declares, is truth. Even back in the Old Testament, in Psalms 25 and verse 5. Psalms 25, verse 5, it says, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day. God can teach man truth. And again, in same chapter, Psalms 25, verse 8, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in justice. He teaches the humble his way. God's word is truth, and God teaches us what truth is. And what Paul said was when we read those words, and in particular he was talking about the words that he was teaching, he said in Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 4, by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. By reading God's word, God's then teaching us, we gain understanding what the truth is. In fact, later on in Ephesians, Paul simply states, so then do not be foolish, in Ephesians 5:17, so then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. God wants us, commands us to understand his will. But there's another characteristic of truth that we need to know about. Truth, by its very definition, is narrow. In Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13, Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there's many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." Truth is narrow by definition, because truth is telling us what is. But if we start talking about what isn't, the number of possibilities is endless. But truth is simply what actually is. Truth is limited to reality. And so there can really only be one truth. Jesus said in John 14, John 14 and verse 6, he said, Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." He is the truth. There's not multiple truths. There's not multiple ways that we can reach God. It's only through Jesus Christ. Truth then is not subjective to the person. Rather, it's objective. If it was subjective to the person, in other words, you could have your truth and I have my truth, well, then we're then saying there's just a lot of truths. Instead of saying that Jesus is the way and the truth. Truth also doesn't change with time. So often people say, well, that's what they wrote back then, but today is different. Well, that's claiming there's multiple truths again, that truth changes over time. But again, there's only one way. If we're going to understand truth, then we have to love it. In fact, there's a warning in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting with verse 11. "For this reason God will send upon them a deluding influence, so that they'll believe what is false, in order that they may be judged who do not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness." There are some people who have no love of truth. And they'll believe, they'll swallow any lie that comes their way. Rather, what we need to do is seek for the truth. Look for it. In fact, it's described in Proverbs 3 in verse 13. "How blessed is a man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding, for her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her." That is how much we need to desire the truth. We look for it like somebody was looking for treasure. If we have such a desire, then, well, people wouldn't then be tempted to change it. Also in Proverbs chapter 30, and in verse 5, "Every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his word, or he will reprove you, and you will be proved a liar." We must desire what is right, to the point that we don't want to alter it, because any alteration, it would no longer be the truth. That means also then that we need to learn how to handle the truth properly. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. We need to handle it properly. Our love for it requires that of us. And when we have the truth, we rejoice in it. In talking about love in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul said, love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Therein is where we find our joy. Therein is where we find happiness. Because we want truth that badly. And then it becomes a part of our lives, so that in Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24, it says, and put on the new self, in which is in the likeness of God, which has been created in righteousness and the holiness of truth. It becomes a part of our lives. In fact, in the very next verse, it says, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for you're members of one another. It becomes a part of us. In fact, it's also what we think about. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. These are the things that we ought to think about. These are the things that we ought to be meditating on. So often we get caught up in the things about this world and we start worrying about this thing and that thing. And we should be focused on what's right and the good things that come from God. Doing that will keep truth with us. Going back to Proverbs 3. This time, verse 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Keep them with you at all times. Don't give it up. So truth is something that we can know. Truth is something that's narrow. Truth is something we need to love. And we need to also understand truth is binding on us. If we love the truth, then we're going to change ourselves to keep ourselves in line with the truth. Too many people want the truth to change to fit them. It has to be the other way around. We have to change to fit the truth. Sometimes I hear people who say they don't believe everything their church teaches, but they attend it anyway. Then there will always be variances, because all of us are constantly learning. And so there are going to be things that we're learning about. But if there's major differences between what a church teaches and what the truth says, then that person's not being honest with the truth. Over in 2 John, in 2 John, in verse 9, it says, anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him greeting, for the one who gives him greeting participates in his evil deeds. We cannot just go along with whatever anybody teaches. We need to demand what the truth is. And if someone won't mold themselves to the truth, then we need to do something about the problem. Because without the truth, we don't have God. In fact, the truth, God's word, is going to judge us one day. In John chapter 12. John 12 and verse 48. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. We're not going to be judged by what somebody else thinks. I'm not going to be judged by what I think. What will judge each one of us is the truth that God has told us. And we don't want to be among those who are condemned. In 2 Thessalonians, again, chapter 2, notice again what he says. Verse 11, for this reason God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they may be judged who do not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. We don't want to be among those who are judged. We want to live by what the truth teaches. I hope you'll think about these things. I know it's a short lesson, but I needed to set up some things for tonight's lesson. I invite you to come back as well. We're going to talk about how to teach some people in various aspects of it, because that's what I'm hoping for this month's theme, is to learn about teaching other people. If there's anyone, though, here today who's not yet a child of God, there is no better time than right now to put on Christ. For those of you who are children of God, would like the prayers of your brethren on behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.